dude, did you fuck this bread? You fucked the shit out of this bread. You don't fuck bread, God.
I had me a vision. There wasn't any television.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Sean.
And Sarah.
And welcome to My Future Husband Facebook, episode 4.
What, bro?
At it again. Highly anticipated sequel to episode 3.
Yep.
You know, because that's how you do. That's how it
happens. I mean, I kind of wanted to go to...
Unlike
I wanted to go to
other
five.
Famous franchise, we did start, like, in order. Sequentially. Started with episode 1, episode 2, 3, now we're at 4. Which is where that franchise that shall go unnamed started.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
In a movie theater far away.
Star Wars.
Hey! You said its name!
Well, yeah, I know.
You're terrible at this game.
I am. That's the Star Wars game?
Yeah.
The Star Wars Illusion game?
Yeah.
Yeah, in this episode, we're going to be talking about a few movies we saw recently. We saw some newer ones this past weekend. You saw one that I didn't get to see.
Yep.
But before we get into that, we're going to do kind of just like recommend something we've been watching on streaming services and whatnot. Recently, I was telling you about this earlier, I rediscovered the show called Better Off Ted.
Yep.
It was only on for like 2 seasons. It's got Portia de Rossi in it and then a bunch of other people.
You'll
recognize a lot of them, but you just, like, I can't remember any of their names. Like, it's like they're like those bit character actors, which is unfair because they're really great. Like, that cast really works really well. It's like an ensemble kind of cast.
Yeah.
And it's basically, they work at this company called Viridian Dynamics that it's like kind of like this research facility in a lot of ways, but like corporatized.
Okay.
And they do a lot of like fucked up unethical things. And but then there's also just like a cutesy kind of like romance story.
Sounds right up my alley.
It's very entertaining. It's a lot funnier than I think a lot of people probably would give it
credit for
or think it would be.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely worth your time. I'd check that out. Also, I actually watched Gonzo, the Hunter S. Thompson documentary recently.
You did. I did.
I watched it again.
I mean, I've seen it.
Watch it again. I've seen it. Like, I owned it. But that's also Netflix streaming, so I'd recommend people check that out if you like Hunter S. Thompson. Even though I don't know I remember being, like, when that documentary first came out, being, like, disappointed in it.
Yeah.
It's, like, really slight, like, light. It's, like, the Cliff Notes version, and it blows over, like, wide periods of his life.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, it doesn't really go into a lot of the crazy, like, court stuff.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. It's been a while since I watched it.
It's like Hunter S. Thompson is a wild man, and he lives his life by his own code and then moves to the
code
desert.
Code of wild turkey.
Yeah, that's right. Code of wild turkey.
Yep. No, I'm a big Hunter S. Thompson fan.
Yeah, me too. And we've talked about this before in our private life, not in our podcast life, but like,
we have a private life?
It's like one of those things that I don't like. I like his writing. I like the Raoul Duke character as his vessel for writing and stuff like that, you know, his... Mm-hmm. But I don't like Hunter S. Thompson as a person, really. Even though I agree with a lot of what he had to say and stuff, the way he conducted his, like, personal life, like, doesn't invalidate what he says, but it makes me, like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, he beats his wife and shit like that, like, and after actually having, like, a problem with the Hell's Angels for doing the exact same thing at one point in his life... He just fucking went off the deep end and kind of became, like, a brutal misogynist and, like...
Oh, yeah, and he, you know, the whole rape accusation and the...
Yeah, which you probably did.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You probably did.
Yeah, in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Because there's a essay about it in Kingdom of Fear, which is probably one of my favorite books of his. It's, you know, the essay collection.
Yeah, Kingdom of Fear is pretty good.
Yeah. But I actually, in my old room, I used to have the Today the Doctor, Tomorrow You.
Yeah.
I took that out of that book and hung it up in my room.
Mm-hmm.
That's from that whole campaign. But yeah, Gonzo is okay. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, I think it's worth watching if you've never seen it, but...
Yeah, it's a rewatch, because I own it. I think you own it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I do own it. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And it's... Yeah, I've probably only watched it, like, 2 or 3 times. I saw it when it first came out.
Yeah,
and
I saw it in the theater, and then...
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Obviously not together.
Actually,
though.
You know, there was one that was made for, like, Stars. The movie channel Stars.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of better.
Oh, do you remember which one it was?
I can't know. It was came out like around the same time or right before Gonzo came out. Like you could tell they kind of positioned it that way on purpose. Because it was really close, like shortly after he died that came. Or no?
Oh well, Gonzo.
It was like 2 years later. Yeah, it would have been like a couple years later.
Yeah, because then they showed his funeral in it.
Yeah,
pretty awesome.
That is. I'll
be
awesome.
Shot out of a cannon.
Shot out of a cannon that looks like a giant fist.
Well, yeah, the Gonzo fist holding peyote flower.
Yeah,
pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, but I can't remember the name of the Star Wars one, but I remember liking that one more for some reason.
Like My Life with Hunter or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's been a while. I think when I saw that was like 2008 or something.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. So what about you, sir? Anything that you've,
Well, I'm still watching Cheers at night to fall asleep.
That's well, yeah.
I freaking love Cheers. I just forgot how much, I mean, I used to watch it with Nick at night when we were younger, I guess.
Yeah.
But I just forgot how awesome that show even is. Like, it's a show that definitely holds to its, you know.
It's a very well-made sitcom.
Yep.
And I think Cheers, if my memory serves me correct, you've been watching lately, so you can remind me. But, like, I don't remember many of the jokes being extremely topical, so it's more of a, has a timeless quality about it.
There are topical things.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. No, I'm sure there's some stuff.
But, yeah, there is a timeless quality to it, because it's just those regulars in the bar and their lives, you know?
Well, that's what I mean.
The place where
so
everyone
it's,
goes.
It's, like, infinitely relatable to somebody, because it's joke more about...
People.
They're people jokes, yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than being topical constantly.
And I guess there's two other things I've been watching. We watched that DC Cupcake show. Terrible.
DC Cupcakes, yeah. Yeah, show.
Because I like.
Two harpies that fucking run a
cupcake
shop.
Store in, like, right outside of DC, probably in Georgetown. Georgetown Cupcakes is what they're called.
Yeah.
First of all, they're annoying as hell. They're not very nice to their employees.
Mm.
And they're just, you know, we gave up our corporate jobs to run a cupcake store.
It's like, how but nice to have be in that position.
And they're constantly leaving, like, their head chef, like, understaffed, and they kind of laugh about it. And he will vocally express it, too. He's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm understaffed right now. Like, blah, blah, blah. And they're just like, okay, you're used to it. And they're like, we're going next door to the other store
we're going to the laboratory.
They call it the laboratory, but it's like their old shop. They just kept it so they can go, like, do their other big projects.
Who are these catering. People? Like, who are they? Which
they were corporate rich people living in D.C.
No, that's what I mean. Like, who?
They probably have rich husbands. Well, I don't think they'll want...
Like,
no one liked her cupcake.
No one liked her cupcake because her cupcake was shit. Well, they did a bake-off.
With firefighters.
With firefighters, and then the rest of the firefighter crew got to judge the best cupcake.
One was a s'mores cupcake, which looked good, but did not win.
And
the other
one was
a
banana split.
Yeah, banana split, and it looked like a banana split.
And it looked good to me, because I like things that are, like, excessive when it comes to, like...
Sweets and...
Bakery stuff, like baked goods. I like excessive baked
goods. Yeah, see, I don't like sweets,
lots of flavor, lots of...
Everything.
Lots of different flavors, I guess, all mixed together. I'm one of those type of people. Like, I'm the type of person that has, like, a plate of food, and we'll just, like, mix it all together at some point.
No, I know you do.
Yeah.
And then, which is fine.
But only if it's, you know, if I've been made a meal that's smart, that complements each other, you know? Like, you gotta have something that can taste good with the other
everything.
Things.
Everything,
yeah.
Right.
Usually, like, mashed potatoes.
Everything gets put in the mashed potatoes.
If you serve mashed potatoes with, like, steak or...
Chicken, you're
some
just going to dunk
burger
your...
Or chicken, yeah.
You're just going to dunk the meat right in the potatoes.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I know.
But mashed potatoes are delicious anyways.
Oh, I know. It's my favorite food.
It's up there for me.
It's always been my favorite food since I was little. I used to get made fun of when I was a kid. Be like, I love mashed potatoes. It's my favorite food.
But,
and then kids be like, that's weird.
Why is that weird? Like, who can argue with that?
No one. Unless they're un-American.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then the third thing I watched last night, actually, while you fell asleep, was the Odd Couple movie. I forgot how much I loved...
The Neil Simon original.
Yeah, the original one with...
Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Yes. So, yeah, it was really good. I was laughing a lot, and I felt like I woke you up at one point laughing.
You
did. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Like a shrieking noise in my ear.
Yep.
That's a good movie. I haven't seen it probably in a few years myself.
Yeah, I don't know, I just forgot how, like, because even a lot of the, like, beginning of the movie, at least, is very just set tone with music.
Yeah.
And it's fucking awesome, like, so yeah, I don't know, I recommend it, peep it. And then, if you can get your hands on the show, just watch the show, too, because, let's face it, Jack Klugman is fantastic.
I don't think I've ever really. I remember what, watching
the show
a little
was
bit.
Really good.
I never really got into this show.
We loved it at my house. So we are also big Jack Klugman fans.
Yeah.
Because he was married to Brett Butler, who was on Match Game with him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He was also Quincy, which is fantastic. Doctor
MD.
Yeah, Quincy MD.
MD.
Yep, so, I don't know. That's what I've been watching.
Okay. Before we start talking about the movies, have we seen any trailers?
Trailers? Not really,
I haven't really seen, because everything's kind of already been, like, any trailers that you see are for movies that are coming out this summer and this Christmas. Oh, the new Hobbit trailer.
Oh, yeah, we did
see
that.
The new Hobbit trailer actually looks pretty good.
That was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Except for, it's more Orlando Bloom, though. I'm not a big Orlando Bloom.
And they put a lot of emphasis on, I think the trailer just put more emphasis than it's actually going to be in the movie. His character, like, being in the movie Legolas, just because, as, like, a selling point. You know, he's trying to get people in the theater.
Yeah. You know what I just, like, every time I see a trailer for it, gets worse and worse. Lone Ranger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
poor
one,
Army
like...
Hammer.
It just looks...
terrible.
I wouldn't even say it looks terrible. I don't think it looks terrible. I think it just looks mediocre. Like, I don't have, like...
I would not take my kids to it.
I don't have a strong, like, feeling about it one way or the other.
Right.
Like, if I happen to see it, or if I'm bored of that weekend it comes out and there's nothing else, I might go see it. Or if it was on Netflix, or if I somehow stumbled across it somehow, I'd probably watch it.
Yeah. I'm not actively going to try and see it. I don't know. I just can't handle Johnny Depp anymore.
For me, it has nothing to do with Johnny Depp. That movie just looks totally, odd.
No, the movie does look odd, and I mean, the Lone Ranger story in itself is odd. But I just can't handle Johnny Depp being a caricature anymore. Like, I don't know. I think that's what it is.
I mean, for me, that doesn't bother me at all. Like, no different to me than, actors from, an older era. Kind of like, there's, a very, older, almost, vaudevillian aspect to, what Johnny Depp does now.
Okay.
It's, high concept shit that's more about affectation than, any depth or anything like that, or...
Fair enough.
You know? Like, so it doesn't... That stuff doesn't bother me as much. Then it does, I guess, some people. It does bother a lot of people. It doesn't... I don't know.
We'll probably end up seeing
it. It's less of a cool, thing to see Johnny Depp in these kind of movies now.
Yeah.
Because it's just you're kind of just, doing a similar thing over and over again. So that becomes redundant at a certain point.
Yeah.
It does.
No, I feel it's pretty redundant, but I don't know. I also the Machete 2 Machete.
Oh, Machete Kills?
Yeah, that looks pretty good, but
I don't think it looks good.
Good, bad, you know what I mean? Entertaining.
Entertaining, but the first Machete...
was the same way.
The trailer
was pretty funny.
Looked like it would be an entertaining movie, and then I saw the movie.
It was boring.
And the movie sucked. It's too heavy-handed, and it's actually too... it takes itself way too
seriously for what it is.
We're gonna tell you, this exploitation... mexploitation movie that is... making a serious point about how we feel about immigration.
Yeah.
And it's kind of odd. It's just the political message in that movie is weird. And
agree.
That maybe Mexicans should engage in violent revolution and assassinate people and so it's maybe they're not so much. But you know what? By the time if they make Machete 3 or 4 and it's Machete in space, then I'll be excited. I am excited to see Mel Gibson in a weird movie, though. Playing, just a bad guy.
Yeah.
That does kind of get me a little bit stoked. So I would probably be inclined to see it just because
and
of
Carlos
that.
Carlos Estevez, this, new actor.
Yeah. I don't understand that at all.
That's his real name.
Oh, that's right.
Charlie Sheen is Carlos Estevez.
Carlos Estevez, that's right, yeah.
So he's just going
I do understand it, and I didn't realize it.
No, but I thought that was funny just for that movie. He was and Carlos Estevez.
And you're just Carlos Estevez.
Yeah. It's his first film. I wonder what that guy's like.
Probably pretty cool.
Yeah?
Probably a pretty cool dude.
He's probably winning at life.
Wizard magic and tiger blood and all that stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
I don't know,
Oh, Insidious Part 2, which you have not seen Insidious 1.
But that trailer makes me want to watch Insidious.
Insidious, I don't want to, say anything to you about it until you watch it, but it's worth your time.
I think it kind of, the new trailer kind of hints at things.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it
so
does,
I think I have an idea of where it's going, but the new trailer... First of all, can I just say...
No, I mean, I'm not talking about plot-wise, I'm talking about, in hindsight, after you watch the movie, how you feel about how well it was made, or,
Everyone at my at work, that has seen it, because when I went and saw the movie with my friends from work that you didn't go to, we saw that trailer, and they were super excited, both of them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, Insidious is, a good, ghosts, poltergeist, haunted house,
and
kinda
I usually
all mixed
don't
together.
Like movies like that, but that one looks like it was pretty good, so, I don't know.
It's way better made than, because it understands, tension and how to, build up to scares rather than just doing...
Pop-outs.
Yeah, just kind of, just cheap scares. It's not cheap, it earns the scares and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, and, I want to comment, I guess, also from that trailer, too. It uses Tiptoe Through the Tulips in the background. I want to give this summer's trailer so far a thumbs up for music usage. There's been some really good ones.
Oh, actually, my favorite trailer that I've seen this year is, I don't think we've talked about it. It comes out this summer. You're Next.
Yes, excited.
Not the Velvet Underground. Well, it's the guy from the Velvet Underground. What's his name?
Lou Reed?
Lou Reed song. That Lou Reed song, yeah.
Perfect Day?
Perfect Day.
I fucking love that song.
Yeah.
It's a perfect
and like
day.
And the way they build it up, they use that in the trailer is fucking awesome.
Yep,
super effective.
I'm really excited for that movie from that trailer.
Yeah, me too, actually.
And again, I don't usually like those kind of movies, but for some reason, I'm kind of interested.
I always forget about it, but it is actually something I'm probably anticipating quite a bit.
Yeah,
and also the new trailer for Only God Forgives, the Nicholas Winding Refn / Ryan Gosling joint. Is really good.
Yeah,
and
they use
the one of the Daft Punk from songs from the Tron Legacy soundtrack.
Yeah,
and it works awesome because of the kind of the neon light aesthetic and stuff they got going on in that movie. The art design matches well with that 80s kind of sound
and that
wonderful face. But yeah, that movie looks good. I actually have heard some advanced stuff about it that it's not awesome.
Not surprised.
That it's people seem pretty split about it, so
we'll
but I think we talked about this in our summer movie discussion or whatever, but I think that movie's gonna be a lot like Drive, where this trailer sells you something that is probably
not, but
I'll probably still enjoy it.
Yep,
because I like the talent behind, but that doesn't always make for
Ryan,
a good movie.
You love Ryan Gosling. I know.
Oh, I love Ryan Gosling. He's my favorite actor of this generation.
He's my favorite actor of this generation as well. Old comedic actor, but that's neither here nor there.
Anyways, so, tell me about the movie you saw without me. Some kind of bad person.
Oh, I know, I'm terrible. Had to break these chains. No, I went and saw The Purge with some friends from work. Went in expecting complete pile of crap, honestly.
It hasn't been reviewed very
good.
Well.
No.
It's like a C.
I knew what I was getting into. It was just nice to go out with some new friends from work and stuff, and I was pleasantly surprised. I wouldn't give it an A, but I'd give a B minus. I wouldn't give it a C either.
Yeah.
I think it did well. The actors were really good at what they did, except for the one, the daughter, was kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you want to call them bad guys, just the antagonists, I suppose.
Yeah.
The main antagonist, I can't remember the actor's name for the life of me.
He's kind of new on this. He's kind of a newer,
he was
to movies.
Creepy as all hell.
That's what has been the consistent through line for that movie as far as the criticism has gone.
It's been
he's really good.
His monologues are really good. I don't want to give much away. But,
yeah.
He did very good. Usually, Ethan Hawke was fine in it.
Ethan Hawke's usually fine.
Yeah, he wasn't, stellar. He wasn't terrible. It was fine.
Yeah, he's one of those people. He's never blown me away, but he's always serviceable. He always does his job. I mean, there's been a couple times that,
does his job go Hamlet?
Oh, my God. That's a terrible version.
I know it is.
Bill Murray in
Blockbuster, giving the like to be or not to be.
I guess to be like, especially at that time, like the Jaded Generation, whatever.
No,
like,
I know, but it was so like, oh my god,
Hamlet like being the first emo like kind of dude. You know, like that's kind of how that movie posits Hamlet.
Yeah,
but like
I don't know, but he was really good, and I always forget her name. Is it Lena?
Lena Headey.
Yeah, Lena Headey. Cersei.
Cersei from Game of Thrones. Sarah Connor from the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah. No, but every time I see her, I love her more.
I like Lena Headey. Yeah.
She...
I don't think she's a great actress, but there's something about her that I like. She was awesome in Dread.
She was awesome. Yeah. But she actually, in this movie, was really well. I thought she did a really good job. And I told you this. She has a different hairstyle in it. And for some reason, I had forgotten that she was in it. And for the first 10 minutes, I was just like... And then all of a sudden, it hit me. And I was like, Cersei! Mm-hmm. And so then my friend Kyle next to me was like, what? And I was like, Game of Thrones. And he was like, what? And I was like, oh, no. But
what a loser.
Yeah, kind of.
Get on the fucking
gravy
information
train,
man.
No, but no, so I was very... The lighting in it and color, which is something I always try to pay attention to in movies, you know?
Yeah.
It's something I just pay attention to because my, like, painting background, I guess. But it was, like, beautiful.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it actually had to do with flashlights because they don't have power for part of it. It's not giving away anything. Mm-hmm. They don't have power. And so it's a lot of flashlight work, which usually is hit or miss in movies, I think. Because there's a bad way to do flashlights.
Well, considering that the whole movie takes place in their house, probably in the dark... You have to figure that out. Like, they have to do something.
No, but it was really... Because even the moonlight and, like, other lighting, like, sources they use...
That's what
I
mean.
Very
like,
pretty.
Yeah.
Which I, you know, no, like, but a lot of movies, it's really hard, I think, sometimes to execute things like that, like, darkness, where it's, like, not annoying.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you liked it, because you were not... Like, I saw the trailer, and I was interested. I didn't think it was going to be, like, good, but I like kind of, like, these high concept kind of, like... allegory type things.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of I like it when they do kind of science fiction esque kind of settings to explore some like social themes and stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, so I'm glad you liked it. That's good.
Yep, we should check it out.
It does seem like after I did read one thing, because I don't normally read reviews, like if I plan on seeing something in the theater.
Yeah.
But I kind of know that I'm not going to see that in the theater, so I was just like, whatever. So I read some reviews and like they're. The assertion that movie is like a anti-libertarian kind of screed about like I guess like people what some people's perception of libertarian is,
yeah.
If they took it to the extreme, which honestly any type of ideology is will be negative if you take it to the extreme.
I know.
You know, whether it be capitalism, socialism, libertarianism, like whatever.
Whatever ism you choose.
Whatever those isms.
Ism.
So that's cool. So would you, like, recommend people... That's more a prior rental for then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say rental, just because movies are so dang expensive now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think people will be pleasantly surprised. So it'll be worth the rent or the stream, whatever, or acquirement.
However you acquire this piece of media.
Yeah. So I definitely say
do it. Oh, that's cool. I look forward to checking it out myself.
Immediately what I said when I ended was I would watch that again.
Yeah.
So I'll watch it with you.
Okay.
Or you can watch it without me, like a horrible person.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Probably, yeah. Well,
whatever.
I don't know. Huh? But, next up, we saw the big movie that came out this past weekend. We saw a midnight premiere. We did the whole nine yards. Because I wasn't...
You were excited.
No, I was getting... I was amping myself up because I'm going to see a movie at midnight. Man of Steel. I liked what I had seen in the trailers of that movie. I was optimistic about it. I didn't think it was going to be amazing. I didn't think it was going to be as bad as the movie.
It was terrible.
So, spoiler alert, everybody. Like, Man of Steel is a really terrible movie. We're going to kind of keep this brief, though. Like, if you want to hear more of my thoughts, I'll just let Sarah talk. I wrote a very long thing on this Blogspot sphere thing.
Yep. I didn't get a chance to read it. I'm sorry. Busy today.
So, but yeah, like, overall, that movie is just like a fucking clunky, plotting mess.
I found the pacing very schizophrenic.
Yeah, it's all over the place, tonally.
Acting was terrible.
acting's... It's not... I wouldn't... It's like...
I couldn't get into
stilted.
It.
Like, it's stilted and just odd. It's always
weird.
Odd.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that has to do with, like... just a bad script. Like, bad dialogue.
No,
like,
the script was terrible. That's what... actually, my friend Kyle from work, again, he's really into movies, and he was asking me about it because he was going to go with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, be honest. And I was... That's one of the first things I said was this terrible script. Like, I was like, parts of it... I was like, it was really easy to kind of make jokes about in your head. Because it was. It was just like...
Yeah.
Because, like, I understand the dynamic of, like, over-the-top and cheesy kind of sometimes
for comic books. Oh, but that's not the problem. But that's not the problem.
But no, that's what I said, was it's not that. It's just it was, like, poorly written. Like...
It has just bad dialogue. People don't actually have real conversations when they talk to each other. Just exposition dump.
And then they're repeating themselves.
And they just say the same thing over and over again. Every time you see the Kents, it's the same speech. Over and over. Every time you see Jonathan Kent, he says the same exact thing over and over in increasingly more aggressively, like, asshole ways.
He's
like, they're, like, terrible. Like, they're not the Kents. They're not recognizable. That's, like, the thing about that movie. Like, a lot of those characters, like, the archetypes and what make, like, Superman Superman and the Kents or anything like that are not there. So you effectively have, like, changed the characters in a lot of ways. And the way they mess... kind of change up some of, like, even the very nature of Superman is changed. On a genetic level, is changed.
Yeah.
And for kind of no reason. For, like, just so they could have, like, this MacGuffin plot device to give Zod a reason to want to, like, find him. That's it.
Zod.
And then they change the entire nature of Superman.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing, the way, like, the Kents are, or the relationship they have, or lack thereof, like, they're not, I don't know. There's just too many things that, like, they were fucked with. And I, you know, for me, it was just like, well, maybe I'm just, like, really out of touch, but, like, if I am, like, I don't want to, like, engage this character. Like, I would not want to, engage in, like, a modern Superman if this is what he's been in the comic books and stuff.
Yeah, no, I've never really been a big Superman girl.
Well, it's not. I don't.
No.
But you're a comic book fan, and you like these kind of, like, stories and stuff like that. Like, Superman has a place.
No. And I'm just saying, I understand. I've never been a fan, but this, like, I was just to tag on to what you were just saying. That it, yeah, it kind of did make me. I'm a little less interested in maybe reading, like, a new Superman or, like, getting into, you know, reading stuff I hadn't read, because it's just kind
of
like, eh.
Well, because, like, we saw Man of Steel, so. And I had. Just made me think about Superman. I really like Grant Morrison's, like, All-Star Superman.
Yeah,
and rather than reread the paperback or the paperbacks that I have of the collected issues, I just watch the DC animated version of it, which isn't, like, a perfect adaption, but it's not bad. It gets, like, the core concepts of what that story is across, and, like, that's fucking Superman. That's, like, who I recognize as Superman. And it modernizes Superman while still taking into consideration, like, all of his history.
Yeah.
It still makes it contemporary and, like, for a modern audience to be able to kind of grasp and understand. Like, the new movie... Also, and that's another thing that's weird about the new movie is that, like, because of, like, all, like, the weird kind of schizophrenic, poorly paced, kind of, like, non-linear fashion it tells the story... It wants you to, like, take your, like, pre-knowledge of these characters with you into the movie.
Maybe, yeah.
But then forget things when it wants you to. So, like, it can never reconcile, like, what it wants you to bring with it and then what it wants you to throw away.
Exactly.
But, yeah. Oh, well, just super disappointing, though, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, even your sister thought it was kind of...
Yeah, even my 14-year-old sister thought it was... Because it's boring. I don't think, like, kids going to see this movie, like... Are they going to have fun watching this?
No, it's funny, though, there's a couple of my, like, internet friends or whatever loved it for some reason. They're like, this is awesome! And I was just wondering...
Why?
Because they have this, like, weird nostalgic attachment to Superman they can't let go, so no matter what they see of Superman, it's going to be awesome, which is weird to me.
That is really weird.
Because yeah, it's not like even people a good we used to work with.
It's not a good representation of that character.
No, it's not.
Like, as far as I understand, over, like, what my preconceptions of who Superman is, and, like, and to get into it, you'd have to get into, like, kind of, like, spoils of the story, even though that story
or
is
not.
So...
Mm-hmm.
That story is so predictable and obvious that it's nothing would actually be a spoiler. Because if you don't know what's kind of going to happen while you're watching that movie, then you just don't know any like, stories.
Right.
You must not read comic books or watch very many movies. So I don't know. I don't know why you'd be watching Man of Steel.
Maybe they just were bored.
No, but do people? Nobody gave like a reason, like why?
No, why was it? No, they wouldn't give a reason like why it was good. It was just like they just said it was awesome and it was a good like movie. I saw that and I was like really like surprised. I don't know. Because everything else I've read or talked to, like at work and stuff, people have come in and said stuff about they've not liked it. So I don't know, it was weird. Maybe I could ask those people why it was good. Why?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's our thoughts on Man of Steel.
Yes.
I guess. Yeah. I wrote something really long about it, so if you want to, that goes into like kind of what I feel is like the problems with changing his character and kind of what I feel like in the movie purports it to be kind of subtle and small, but it's actually, they're actually, in my opinion, pretty big. And I get into that stuff. Yeah, the other movie we saw was the other new one, This Is the End.
Yeah.
With Seth Rogen and crew, James Franco, Jay Baruchel.
Michael Cera
as a cameo. But yeah, so it's pretty much like everybody you've ever seen in any of those movies at least makes a cameo.
Yeah.
And
Jason
Segel. Yeah, but it's very much a Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg movie. You can tell
Dude, it was so funny.
Yeah, it's extremely funny. It's really funny. It's extremely
Danny
like
McBride.
Their sense of humor, like they're super crude and sophomoric, but it works. Mm-hmm. It works for it in ways that like a lot of movies don't. Like they get away with shit because they're a little bit smarter. That like I don't think like Adam Sandler could get away with.
No,
because Adam Sandler tried to make like a gross out crude comedy last year, which I never saw.
What?
Like, That's My Boy, and people eviscerated it. But it has a lot of, like,
well,
from what I understand, like,
Jack and Jill.
Oh, that's the people have been on the I Hate Adam Sandler train for a long, since I was in high school.
That's true.
Like, I mean, like, we all watched Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore and probably liked it when we were kids, and then there was, then people become jaded.
I still like, Billy Madison.
Yeah, so do I.
Billy passed the third grade.
I could still even watch Happy Gilmore. Like, those movies are fun. I like The Wedding Singer.
We watched The Wedding Singer recently.
The one I did, and even the one of the more recent ones that I didn't mind was Anger Management.
I didn't see that.
Jack Nicholson.
That's probably why.
It's fine. Like, they're not rewriting the comedy book, but they're okay. And, but, like, his movies have gotten aggressively more, like, lazy and dumb.
Yeah.
And predictable as the years have gone by. Like, I don't think it's just complete, like, backlash or anything for no reason. I think there was a time when it was, but, like, now, not anymore. Like, he's obviously just makes... It's, like, paycheck movies that are very obviously, like,
yeah.
Hey, I get paid to a lot of money to hang out with my friends and goof off.
Like, that was that new one coming out with him?
Grown Ups 2.
Why?
I saw Grown Ups 1 way after the fact, like, because I had no interest in seeing that movie whatsoever. And, for some reason, I think I was in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything to do, and it was, like, the only thing that I had that I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
That was available to me, so I ended up watching it, and that movie is bad. Like, it's so bad. But it made it, yeah, I did.
Oh my god.
I was really bored. But that movie made, like, $1 billion, so now you got the new... And people love that movie. People fucking absolutely love that movie.
No, yeah, a lot of, like, when I used to work at the daycare...
Yeah, a lot of parents.
I was going to say parents or, like, the older lady teachers that I used to work with.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of, like, middle-aged people kind of enjoy
that
movie.
My mom probably liked it.
Maybe, yeah.
She also liked that Wild Hogs movie, so that says a lot for my mom.
Yeah, well, that's... Wild Hogs is, you know, I saw that too. I think, yeah. I don't know why I saw that too. I think maybe my parents rented it.
Probably.
And I had just happened to be here. I was like visiting or something when it came out. Yeah. So I ended up watching it with them. It was, you know, family watching a movie together.
Yeah.
And, like, that's better than Grown Ups, and that movie's really bad.
John Travolta, Tim Allen.
Oh, it's that movie's pretty, like, mediocre. Like, it's perfectly acceptable. Like, you watch that, it's whatever. It is exactly what you think it's going to be.
I like the joke you made to your sister when we saw the preview. Actually, to go back to trailers, saw for Grown Ups 2, you're like, stop laughing.
I know. Like, yeah, why was she laughing? But anyways, yeah, but yeah, so this is the end.
I recommend it. I laugh pretty hard. It was good to see you laugh. We were a big group, and everyone seemed to pretty much enjoy it. Like, it wasn't, like, the best movie ever, but it was really funny.
It was probably the funniest comedy to be in a theater this year.
Yep. Thus far.
It's like, if you want to go see a comedy, like, a good comedy, this is worth the money.
Yeah, cause some of the stuff they do is just really clever, and I don't know.
If you don't mind crude, like, gross out, it's super crude. It gets really bad. It's a very hard R. And even though it's kind of light and stuff, it's pretty dark. Like, it gets progressively darker and weirder,
yeah,
as the movie goes on.
Which is my policy in life, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Darker the weirder.
I think there's some pacing problems with that movie. Like, they probably could have cut, like, 10 minutes out of it.
But that's not a big deal. Like, 10 minutes comparatively to a solid two-hour movie.
It's like 147 minutes, I think. I just happened to look on, like, IMDb about it earlier today. It's like, I don't know. It's really great. The first 40 minutes are really great.
Yeah.
Then it kind of doesn't know what to do with itself for like a half hour.
Yeah.
And then they kind of tell the same joke over and over again.
Yeah.
And that stuff kind of gets old. And then by the time it starts getting like too old, like it actually changes it up by that point.
Mm-hmm. No, I liked it though. I was glad we went and saw it. Yep. Because I don't want to give anything away, but it was good.
Yeah, it is. It's a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good chemistry. I mean, it's got some more of that, like, ad-lib stuff that probably goes on a little bit too long at points.
Yeah,
but it was fun to see, like, things, because they're very... Some of them, like, James Franco catches a lot of flack for being an artsy-fartsy dude, and he's open to make fun of himself, and, like,
they all were, like, kind of making fun of themselves in a weird way.
They all were.
Yeah, it was great.
Like, you know, about... Oh, they have, like, that bit about, like, you don't like Art Man? You ever go to Subway?
That's an art.
That guy who puts that sandwich together for you, man. That's art. You like art.
I looked at you when I said that, because you love subs.
I do. I do like Subway, actually, quite a bit.
Let's just say Subway a whole bunch, and maybe someone will hear this, and you'll get free Subway.
Yeah, I do love Subway, if anybody would like to give me free Subway.
He does. Subway is his favorite restaurant.
It is.
I know.
It's cheap. It's satisfying. It's delicious. It is.
BMT.
In the words of James Franco, it's art.
You're silly.
And another great surprise of that movie was Michael Cera. Michael Cera is not acting at all like himself, obviously. He's playing a character, pretty much. But he is as Michael Cera. But it's probably the highlight of the movie for me. That's my favorite.
You laugh so hard.
My second favorite part of the movie.
Don't give away your first.
It's my second favorite part of the movie. I don't know, do you want to talk about it just in general, or do you know?
I don't want to ruin things. It's too new. Came out yesterday. If you want to, we can. Your shot. Your call.
No, that's fine. But yeah, so that's definitely... I would definitely recommend that if you were just in... the mood to watch like a good comedy.
Yeah.
Whether you see it in the theater or you when acquire it comes out and get on video or whatever.
I'm just gonna say acquire. However you acquire
this film. It's worth your time. Yep. I was pleasantly surprised by it.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, I didn't think it was gonna be bad. I kind of expected to like it.
Yeah. But no, 'cause I usually like what they do.
They do go to a few places I did not expect. So that was like
they
ratchet up like shit to a level that I did not expect in a couple instances.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I didn't see coming. And I didn't expect it to be so positively, give like such a positive perspective on like religion in a really weird way.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I didn't expect that
That's
at
funny,
all.
I didn't even
Especially because
think...
they're Jewish.
That's funny. I didn't even think of that.
Because it's very Christian. It's a Christian, like, it's the rapture.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, I guess that's going to do it for us. I'm Sean.
I'm Sarah.
And thanks for listening, everybody. And, yeah. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.